Okay, we're starting here by the two dots on the top of Yudchet Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Aval b'korbanot enochein. It's not true by korbanot. The question is, how integrated is that with the successive statement in the Mishnah versus the previous statements in the Mishnah? The previous statements in the Mishnah speak about within arachin, if there's a change in the status of the individual, from ani to ashir, ashir to ani, in either situation he has to pay like an ashir, and then we say, but korbanot enochein. By korbanot, that's not the case, because by korbanot, there's a fixed point in time where we determine what is the economic ability of the person to pay, and that's what we saw yesterday. And that applies both to the Tanna Kamma and to Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Then the Mishnah continues and says, afilu meit aviv, and then there's a subsequent statement afterwards. The question is, that subsequent statement afterwards, is there a connection to the previous statement of the Mishnah? We discussed this yesterday, I'm just repeating it again today, because the Rishonim discussed it again today, which is, why is there a difference, possibly, between Arachin and by Korbanot? Or maybe there is no difference. So the Rabbeinu Gershom over here claims that when it comes to here, Mishna Korbanot, De'ein lehekdesh behen klun, why is it by Korbanot? Hekdesh doesn't get any advantage if the person gains any success, or from the fact that he might inherit something. Mishna Barachin, why is it by Arachin, Ani Ve'ashir, denotein Erech Ashir, Mishum, Debe Korbanot K'tiv, because the pasuk by Korbanot says, Asher Lotasig Yado, B'Taharato. So the pasuk says specifically that it has to be the Zman Tahara. If that's when he has it, it works. If he doesn't have it, then it doesn't work. Aval Barachin K'tiv, Kafi Asher Tasig Yad Hado Der, Yarichenu HaKohen. Whatever he can afford, the Kohen can go after. As long as he has the capacity to gain some wealth or some capacity to pay, then Hektesh will go after that. And so, therefore, you see here that by Arachin, there's a greater net to capture any wealth that comes to this individual. The only problem is, we're about to see it after the next Mishnah, that Hektesh doesn't wait around. By Arachin, for instance, if a person has some sort of precious item that they could sell for more if they waited, versus liquidating it right now, Hekdesh doesn't wait to gain the higher price. It liquidates it on the spot. So why over there do we say we liquidate it on the spot? And over here we say, oh yeah, maybe we'll wait around. Maybe you'll get more. Maybe you'll inherit something. How come Barachin is different? So to that, the Rabbeinu Gershom answers, Margalit de Kalim, which is this upcoming Gemara, which we'll discuss in a couple of minutes, Hani Mile Kilaitle. That's only when he doesn't have it. Aval Kiitle Mide Yamtin. If he has it in hand already, then we wait. Vitein Erech Hashir. And he pays like an ashir. So it's not clear exactly what the Rabbeinu Gershom means. Meaning, does he think that in the case further on in the Gemara, the person doesn't have in his hand yet, and it's something that will have to then come in the future? Or does he mean that because where he is currently, there's nothing he can do about it? He'd have to wait, or it'd have to be something in the future, and therefore we don't wait for it? Versus over here, by the case of the inheritance or other items, which are basically there, we just have to wait a couple of minutes for it, and we'll have it. So it's as if he has it biyad already. It's as if he has it in his hand already. So that's why over there, by Arachin, we would wait for it. So the Rabbeinu Gershom clearly sees that there's a distinction between Korban and the case of Arachin, where by Korban, you would not have any flexibility, whereas by Arachin, you have flexibility to wait for some more money, or any point that it becomes an Ashir, that has impact over here. Now, the Balei Tosafot quote from Perish HaKuntris, they quote from Rashi saying something similar. We don't have this in Rashi itself, but he quotes something similar that the remainder of the Mishnah does not apply to Arachin because the Kohen has the option of when to assess the individual, and therefore there's much more flexibility. So, similar to what was quoted in the Rabbeinu Gershom, this view of the Tosafot quotes of Rashi seems to indicate that there's more flexibility when it comes to Arachin. Whereas Rashi himself on the Mishnah says that the latter part of the Mishnah is only speaking about Arachin, and therefore there is also requirements or limitations by Arachin, and the Balei Tosafot say from the Reed that it's actually speaking about both things. It's speaking about both Korbanot and about Arachin, and again, they read the Mishnah as being when it's Aval Lo B'Korbanot, that's the end of the statement, whether it's the end of the statement of Rabbi Yehuda or the end of the first half of the Mishnah, and then Afilu Meit Aviv, V'niach Lo Ribo, that, according to Rashi, is about Arachin, and according to the Balei Tosafot, that's both about Arachin and Korbanot. So now we're going to begin the Gemara. The Gemara says, Aviv mate, veniach lo ribo, ashirhu. In the Mishnah where it says that he inherits from his father this large sum of money, then he is obviously someone who is wealthy. If he's inherited the money already, then he's definitely wealthy. So Amar Rabbi Abahu, ema meniach lo ribo. It's a case where he hasn't yet inherited the money from his father, but he will inherit the money from his father in the future. When it says pshita, that it shouldn't count, because it's not his. If it's not his, then why should Hekdesh have any rights to it at that point in time? Kishahaya aviv gusis. It's a case where his father is vacillating between life and death. He is basically on his deathbed at this point in time. Maudetema, what would I have thought? Rov gusisim lemita. The majority of people who are in this situation will die, and therefore we could count on this money, or we can assume that it's going to come to him. Kamash malan, that we don't wait around from it, and we don't count on it. And again, for Rashi in the Bali Tosafot, this applies by Rachin as well. And for the Beinu Gershom, this only applies by Korbanot. Svinato beyam, if he has his merchandise out at sea on a boat, ubaolo biribaot, and it's bringing him riches that he's going to have, then Ashiru, he already owns it. It's his. So then why doesn't it count towards his wealth? Amarav chista, kishayeta mukheret umuskeret biyad achirim. It's a case where either he rented it out to another party, or he gave it to another party for a percentage in the profits. So the Gemara says, like a schirut. Well, the idea being here is that he's going to have a windfall from this kakirut or this schirut. He's going to make a ton of money. So again, why can't we count that? He's already going to earn that money. He's rented it out at this point already. The Gemara says, schirut ain't a mishtalemet ela basof. That schirut is only paid or is only earned once you reach that end point. V'tipukle mishum sfina. Why don't you say the boat itself that he owns? Why isn't that also considered in the wealth? If he's able to earn the money through the rental of the boat, that means he owns the boat. So why isn't that considered in the calculation of his wealth? Hamani, Rabbi Lazar, this is authored by Rabbi Lazar, who we'll see later on in the Masechta. That's not Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Imaya Ikar. If he is a farmer, Notein Lod Smado, you give him his pair of oxen to work the field. Vichamar, if he is a donkey driver, notein lo chamoro, meaning that the hekdesh doesn't take away his basic means of earning a living, and so therefore, if he has something that facilitates his ability to earn money, we're not going to take that. That's considered to be a basic necessity, and hekdesh doesn't have that. What we're looking for is his excess wealth, and therefore the boat here, which is the means by which he makes a living, that's not hekdesh's purview to take. But the schar from that, that hekdesh does the opportunity to take. Next Mishnah. Hashanim Benidar, it's now explicating what we saw in the first Mishnah, which was that when it comes to the years to determine in the tables, that's determined by the Nidar, the object of the Neder Arachin. Ketzat, what's an example of that? Yelet, Sherich, Zakein, a youngster that is Marich, an older person. The assumption here of a Zakein means somebody over the age of 60. So a Yelet could be, as Rashi says over here, between 20 and 60, or it's possible it's referencing to someone who's between the age of 5 and 20. But clearly, he is younger. If he's between 20 and 60, he has a higher price than the 160 and over. And so then, in that situation, we say that, notein erech zakein. The determination for the table, lookup tables, is based on the zakein, because he's the object of the neder arachin. And vice versa, zakein she'erich et hayeled, if the zakein has the yeled as the object of his neder arachin, notein erech yeled, he has to pay the price between 20 and 60, and not the price which he is, of over 60. Harachin benerach. He also said that when it comes to determining the gender, which is the other factor in terms of the tables, then it's determined by, again, by the object of the neder arachin. Keitzat, ish sherich haisha, a man who has the woman as the object of his neder arachin, notein erech haisha. Then he looks up in the tables based on the gender of a woman of that age. Bisha sherich haish, and vice versa, a woman who takes the neder arachin about a man, or uses him as the object of her neder, notenet erechish, then she pays based on his table lookup, not her table lookup. Vaerech bizmana erech. And the last thing we saw in the Mishnah is the fact that the determination of the erech is at the moment of the neder, not when you come to the kohen to pay, or not when you get assessed. Keitzad, how does that work? Hericho pachot mi ben chamesh. He was the object of a neder erechim when he was less than 5 years old. And then before the person has a chance to come and pay for it, or possibly it's the case where he comes before the Kohen to be assessed, and at that point he's already older than five, Pachot mi ben esrim, if he took the neder when the person was less than 20, v'naseh yeter al ben esrim, and then he became older than 20 at that point, notein v'zman ha'erech. You give it based on the time he took the neder. So in these cases, in the first instance, you would pay for 1 month to 5 years, and in the other scenario, you'll pay for 5 to 20, and not from 20 to 60, because at the time of the neder, that was the age of the individual. Now the Gemara brings a very short but cryptic statement that obviously has a lot of impact over here, and that is that, Tan Rabbanan, Ataik Shita Damim La'arachin, you created a hekesh between Damim, that is when you take a neder to pay the true value of the individual to hekesh, and Arachim, where you use the lookup tables in the Torah to determine the value that you're going to give to hekesh. Rashi notes the hekesh that we learned earlier in the Masechta, which is neder be'erkecha nefashot. And over there we said the word neder is a reference to damim. Erkecha is a reference to arachin. And therefore we have a hekesh between damim and arachin. And from that we learn, margalit likalim. You're speaking about a precious stone that is owned by kalim. Over here the Rabbeinu Gershom says kalim is an ani, someone who is poor. Rashi says something of a similar nature. Vilidon bichvodo. And the fact that if you are madir a neder arachin with regards to a limb, shenishamat luyabo, then that spreads to the entirety of the person. You have to pay the erech of the entire person. That's actually what we learned earlier in the Masechta, which is this hekesh of neder and arachin teaches us, just like arachin and nidon bichvodo because of the word nefashot, so too that is true by damim as well. Now, there's also seemingly a different hekesh over here, which is has to do with a precious stone that is owned by an ani. They will explain what that is, but the Gemara never brings any indication of what that hekesh is or where that information is known from. Rashi over here claims that Margalit the Kalim is a situation in which you have an ani that promised to give erech, let's say his own erech to the Mikdash, but he doesn't have sufficient funds to pay for it. So he's being assessed by the Kohen, and in that process they come and find that he has a precious stone. The precious stone where he lives in the village is only worth a small amount, let's say 20 sela. If he was to bring it to the shuk, or if he was wait to bring it to another point in time where a wealthier person might be interested in it, he might be able to garner a lot more money for it. We say with regards to that, we don't wait for that time. Ein lekdesh, ela shato umikomo. Hekdesh only gets what's here and now. Whatever you could sell it for here, in this location, in the situation we're in, that's how we view it, meaning that we don't consider if he had been a wealthy person and could wait to sell it, that maybe he'd garner more. Or if he was to wait till the Yom HaShuk, that he would garner more. Or if he was taken to the city, he would garner more. None of those are meaningful. We sell it at the price or assess it at the price it is currently worth, even though that's not to the benefit of Hekdesh. But that is the rule, and that rule applies by Damim. And now we're saying we're extrapolating that from a Hekdesh to tell us that that rule also applies by arachin. So that's through the hekesh that we saw before, which is neder be'erkecha. So now we have two dinim, which we know that arachin are like damim. Damim are like arachin, which is that by nifashot, the issue of nidon bichvodo, which we saw earlier in the Masechta, applies both to damim and to arachin, that if you are makdish, avish, and nishamat, huya, bo, that it spreads the entirety of the body. The other thing we also know is that the assessment is done at the moment that you can sell it, meaning ela b'shato umikomo, whatever the price is on that day, in that location, that's what you garner. We don't wait around. We don't try to figure out how we can garner more money from the item. That also applies both by damin and arachin. Now we were thinking that maybe there should be a third thing. Yochol nakish arachin adamim shitein kishat nitina. So maybe you would think that by arachin, that just like by damim, it's governed by the shat nitina. At the time that you give it, you would think maybe it has implication over here. Where do we know by damim that that's the case? Rashi says svarahi. That's a logical argument. He says that if a person takes a neder to give his value to hekdesh, and then 6 months later he shows up in the Beit Din or by the Kohanim to assess how much he owes, how are they ever going to know what he was worth 6 months ago? The only way we know what a person is worth is based on the slave market. And we know what the current prices are. We have no idea what he would have fetched 6 months ago in the market. So obviously, it has to be the current price and not the price that was beforehand. And that's why everything is done in the current. Everything is done at the moment that we're coming to assess. and decide about the value of such an item. Rashi says that's the logic, and that is applicable by Damim, and then we extend it or extrapolate it to Arachin. The Balei HaTosafot say they don't see the logic in that. And that's because it's very possible that it's obvious that the person's value has changed. First of all, say something happened to the person in the interim, whether Tosafot says the possibility that he passed away, or even the possibility to get it sick. So it's clear that his value earlier on was much higher than his value now. And if that's the case, why would you then say that his value is determined by the here and now, even though for certain you know he was worth more beforehand? And so therefore, it's very difficult to say that it's logical. And so the Balei HaTosafot say that it must be there's a pasuk. They don't give us the pasuk. They just say there must be some source for damim that tells us this information. The Rabbeinu Gershom does bring a possibility of what the pasuk is, and then he says the following: Shitein kishat netina kirichtiv, because it says by a behema tmeya at the end of Sefer Vayikra, says v'im behema tmeya ufada be'erkecha v'yasef chomishito ala v'im lo yigel v'nimkar be'erkecha. So it uses the verb erech by the case of a behemat me'ah. And similarly, by a behemat me'ah, which is talking about a behemat that got a moment it, v'icha koin ota, bentov v'in rak erchecha koin keni yeh. The koin has to assess the value of such an animal. And in assessing the value of such an animal, then we determine how much money he pays. Problem is, v'ein arachim le'behemah. There is no such thing as erech for the behemah. Ela damim. It must be that it's speaking about its value. Ela my time amakim le b'lashon arachim. So then why did it mention arachim? Lakish damim la'arachim. To tell you that damim and arachim are the same. And so both of those are indications that the word erech is being used in the context of damim. To teach you that the arachim have the same din as damim. Le'elu hadinim demargiliot le'kalim. To tell you that that is the way that it works for margilot le'damim. And by damim, we have the pasuk that says, v'natan erkecha bayom hahu, that you have to give your erech on that day, which is written by Magdish Stei Mikna, v'chishav lo kohen et mechsat erkecha ad shnat yovel, v'natan et erkecha bayom hahu kodesh la'Hashem, which is brought in the Gemara later on Daf Chaf Dalid, and he says that that's the source for this margalit le'kalim. You see there that the term bayom hahu is used. That tells you by damim, when you're talking about value, that is on bayomahu, on the day that we're looking at it, whatever the value is, that's the determining factor. And since the word erech is used in all these locations when it's really speaking about damim, that gives us a hekesh to arachin. So that's the source of this din. So based on those psukim, which the Balei HaTosafot don't have what they think the psukim are, but they just think that Rashi's logic is not correct, here the Rabbeinu Gershom gives us some indication of what he thinks that the pasukim are. Now we were thinking that maybe there should be a third thing, which is yochol nakish arachin ledamim shitein kishat netina. So maybe you would think that by arachin, that just like by damim, it's governed by the shat netina at the time that you give it, which we already saw, which is v'natan erkecha bayom hahu. So there you would think maybe it has implication over here. That's not true, because it says Tamal Omer ke'erkecha yakum eino notain el bizman ha'erech. So the fact that by the pasuk by arachin it tells you otherwise, which is ke'erkecha yakum, says by estei achuza mishnat ha'yovel yakdish tadeu ke'erkecha yakum, that the erech is based on the yakum, the time of the erech. And even though the pasuk of ke'erkecha ken yakum is written by estei achuza, it's extraneous over there, and since it's extraneous over there, we utilize it for arachin to tell us this din by arachin. The enotein el bizman ha'erech, that you do it based on the time of the erech. That's the time period where it matters. No other time matters. Whereas the din for nidarim, or for the case of damim, is v'natan et erkecha bayom ahu, that you pay it on that day. So you would think maybe there's a hekesh to say that that is the case, that bayom ahu, just like by damim, it's based on the current state. That's the way that you pay. So too, over here, you would pay based on the current state or the current age of the individual. The Talmud Lomar is Kerkecha Yakum, that whatever it was at the time of the Neder Arachin, that's what determines the price over here. Now, Vayter, next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Yom Shloshim Kelamata Imenu. The 30th day is deemed to be like beforehand, meaning that if it's 30 days, then you haven't reached the point where you've entered into the tables of Arachin. You need to be a day older than 30 days. Shnat Chamesh, the fifth year, which is the next grouping there, which is from 5 to 20, then in Shnat Isrim, and from 20 to 60, Kilamata Mehen, they are both deemed to be lower than them. So if you're age of 20, then you're still in the 5 to 20 category. The age of 5, you're still in the 1 month to 5 year category. Shnemar, because the Pasuk says, Imi ben Shashim Shana Umalo, from 60 years and up. Up means above 60 years. So over there, when it comes to 60 years, 60 is considered to be in the 20 to 60 range, and then the Malo is into the next range. Harela Medim, from there we learn, Bekulam Mishnat Shishim. We learn them all from the Shnat Shishim. Mashnat Shishim Kilamata Emenu. Avshnat Chamesh Vishnat Isrim Kilamata Emenu. Just like the 60th year is deemed to be the previous part of the table from 20 to 60, so too the 20 belongs to the 5 to 20, and the 5 belongs to the 1 month to 5 years. Hein Imasa Shnat Shishim Kilamata Mimena. Wait a minute, the fact that the Torah deems 60 years to be the younger is the Hachmir. That's a case where it turns out to be the Chumrah. Because if you count 60 years, meaning up to his 60th birthday, as being part of the 20 to 60, then he has to pay the higher rate. He has to pay 50 sela. If you graduate him up to the next rate of 60 and older, then you would pay 15. So the Torah is Machmir and says that when you're exactly 60, then you belong in the lower category because you're going to pay more. As soon as you come 60 years and 1 day, then you graduate up to the next category, and that drops your price. But that's because there it's the Chumrah. Maybe it would say something differently with regards to 5 and 20. Up to 20 years, maybe we would not say that he belongs in the 5 to 20 category, but rather at 20 exactly, he should bump up to the next category because then he'll have to pay more. And instead of having to wait for 20 years and 1 day, at the 20th birthday exactly, he would already graduate up. And the same thing with 5 years, because that would turn out to be the Hachmir. How can you say that because by 60, the Torah was taking the 60 itself as being belonging to the lower category, how can you then extrapolate that to 20 and 5 years old when they are lahakel? And that's the problem here. Now, says Shnat Chamesh, Shnat Esrim, Kilamata, Mimenu lahakel, Tamalomar, Shana, Shana, Ligzer Shava. Shana, Shana is Ligzer Shava. Ma Shana, Hamura, Bishnat, Shishim, Kilamata. Just like the word Shana by Shishim means the 60th year belongs to the lower category, and until you're 60 years in 1 day, you don't move up a category. So too, by 20 years old and 5 years old, until you reach 20 in 1 day, you haven't graduated to the next category. Until you reach 5 in 1 day, you haven't reached the next category. Whether ben hakel ben achmir, doesn't matter if it's the hakel or the achmir. Either way, it's the din because of the gzera shava. And we'll see in the Gemara that you need the gzera shava because the logic would not dictate this. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ache yiterot ala shanim, Chodesh v'yom echad. Lezer says, in order to graduate to the next age category, you have to be 31 days into the next year. So until now, we've been speaking about being 1 day into the next year. So if you're 60, you belong in the previous category. When you're 60 years and 1 day, which is your 60th birthday, that is when you reach 60 years and 1 day, then you bump up to the next category. But all you needed was 1 day into the new year in order to be deemed in your 61st year. And that was enough to bring you up to the next age category. What Rabbi Eliezer says is that you need actually 31 days into your next year. So you'd have to be 31 days into your 61st year, 30 days from your 60th birthday. Then only then would you graduate up into the next category. Now the Gemara says, Mufne. This Gezer Shav of Shana Shana has to be that the words are extraneous. Because De'ilo Mufne, if the words are not extraneous, Ika L'Mifrach. You can undermine it logically, K'dibarachinah. Like we did in the Mishnah. Which means that when you have a Gzera Shava, if the words are not extraneous, then it can be attacked by a logical argument. And we already saw that there's a logic to undermine this connection between the word Shana Shana, because by 60 it turns out to be the Chumrah, by Esrim and Chamesh it turns out to be the Kula. So that would not stand up to a logical argument. Therefore it has to be Mufne. When the Gzera Shava is Mufne, where the words are extraneous, then it overcomes logic. Or logic can no longer undermine the Gzera Shava. Because we see that as being a limud, as if it's written explicitly in that text, and that is the din, irrespective of whether it's logical or not. Gemara argues in other places as to whether you need Mufne Mitzad Echad or Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. Do you need it to be extraneous on both sides, only on one side? Here it happens to be that the words are extraneous in both cases, because it says, Shana, Shana, Yetere, Tive. The words Shana are extraneous. And that's because in the psukim, it's obvious what you need in terms of years. The psukim say in the beginning, Ve'ayag erkecha azachar mibenesrim shana, v'adbeshin shim shana. That shishim shana is unnecessary. You could have written Ve'ayag erkecha azachar mibenesrim shana, v'adben shishim. And we would know shishim is shishim shana because it just said it's rim shana. So therefore, the shana by the shishim is extraneous. And similarly, in the next category, you don't need the word shana in all of these instances because it's obvious from the context in which it is written that we would have known it anyway. And so therefore, I have the word shana being extraneous. Given that, now I can make the hekesh from miben shishim shana ulamalo, where there it's clear that the shana means below that age because it says ulamalo. So then mala means above the age of 60, so that shana then we use as a gzer shaba to all the other cases where we're speaking about a shana, like 5 and 20. The Rashi only brings a pasuk for the proof with regards to ben chaf shana. He does not bring it by chamesh shanim, but as we noted already, there is also an extraneous shana that's found by chamesh shanim. With regards to 30 days, Rashi doesn't bring anything, and neither does the Gemara seemingly bring anything. There, by 30 days, it might be learned out from what we're going to see in a second, that there is a correlation between the Chodesh that's mentioned here by Arachin and the Chodesh by Pidgeon Ben. And just like by Pidgeon Ben, it means Lamala. So to over here, it's going to mean Lamala. And that's why you don't need a specific limud over here with regards to Ben Chodesh. Mar says, Lema Matnitin to Loka Rabbi. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi. Di Rabbi Amar Ad Va'ad Bichlal. Rabbi says whenever the Torah uses a terminology or a number, that number is included in whatever is being said. So when it says from 20 to 60, it means that 20 is included in the number, and so is 60 included in the number. Yet you're telling me that's not the case, because 20 doesn't belong in that category, it actually belongs in the lower category. That wouldn't work according to Rabbi, because Rabbi says anytime you give a number, that number is included. Titania, because we have a braita that brings the psukim from Parshat Bo with regards to the Korban Pesach, there in Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Tet Bav, it says, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu, Ach, bayom arishon tashpitu sor mi batechem, ki yokol ochel chametz, v'nechrata ha-nefesh ahi mi Yisrael, mi yom arishon ad yom ha-shivii, from the first day until the seventh day. Yochol rishon, velo rishon bichlau, you would think from the first day to the seventh day means from the first day, not including the first day, and shvii, and the seventh day means the seventh day, but not, lo shvii bichlau, but not including the seventh day, ki inyan shenemar, like it is said by Nigaim, Mi rosho v'ad raglav. Over there it says when the tzarat spreads to the entirety of the body of the individual, he is tahor. And it says it spreads mi rosho from his head and down to his raglav. Rosho v'lo rosho bichlau. Over there it says that it's up to his head, but his head is not included. Raglav v'lo raglav bichlau. And it's up to his feet, but not his feet are not included. So now same thing over here. Just like rosho and raglav don't include the rosh and the regel, so too by Yom Rishon ad Yom Shvi'i, maybe it should include Yom Rishon and Yom Shvi'i. Tamalomar ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim Lachodesh Ba'erev. In the Pasuk, in the subsequent Pesukim, in Pesuk Yudchet, it says, Berishon Barbasa Yom Lachodesh Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot ad Yom Ha'echad Ve'esrim Lachodesh Ba'erev. So that later Arev tells you that it goes all the way through the 21st day till the night. Well, the 21st day is the seventh day. And that means that we're including the entirety of the seventh day as well. And just like the Rabbeinu Gershom says that the Arev means all the way to the end of the day, Haino Rishon Ushvi Bichlau. And that tells you that the first and seventh day are included. Because just like the Ba'arev tells you that the entirety of the seventh day is included, so too we would understand that the first day is also included. Although Rashi learns slightly differently and says that the Pasuk says, Ba'abar Sayom Lachodesh Ba'arev, Tochlum HaTor HaYom HaYachad Besrim Lachodesh Ba'arev. So Ba'erev in the first one includes the first day, and the second Ba'erev includes the seventh day. So you see that all 7 days are included over here. So you need a specific pasuk to include them, otherwise we would have thought they're excluded. Along comes Rabbi and says, Rabbi Omer, you know, tzarich. You don't need to do that. Rishon bichlau, shvi, shvi bichlau. When it says from the first day till the seventh day, doesn't mean the first day excluding the first day and the seventh day excluding the seventh day. It means from the first day including the first day all the way to the seventh day including the seventh day. So for Rabbi too, over here, it should be from 20 to 60, it should be 20 is included in it and 60 is included in it. And we don't say that. We're saying over here that 20 is not included in the category of 20 to 60. So it sounds like Rabbi, he cannot be the author or the position that is our Mishnah. So afilu teima Rabbi, you can even say it's according to Rabbi because shkulei Mishkalei Krai. Over here, the psukim are equal. Michtei. Let's look at the situation. Tiv, mi ben kodesh va ben chamesh shanim. It says from 1 month until 5 years. Vitu. And then the next, the pasuk says the next category is mi ben chamesh va ben chav. It's from 5 years and older till 20. So then, mi ben chamesh lomali. The fact that it mentioned already ben chamesh in the first category means, according to Ravi, it belongs in that first category of 1 month to 5 years. Then when you start the new category, it says 5 years to 20. Then you're including the 5 years in the new category as well. So that means that the Torah is including it in both categories. That means, according to this, shkulei mishkalei, it's equally plausible that the 5 years belongs into the month to 5 years, as it is that the 5 years belongs in the 5 years to 20 years, because it's mentioned in both cases. So if you include it in both cases, then you actually don't know where it belongs. And even for Rabbi, you would need some sort of limud, hishilkach ishtiku ledohu, since they are equal, even Rabbi will need a limud here to tell us where the 5 years belongs and where the 20 years belongs, because they're both mentioned twice. It's mentioned in a month to 5 years, then 5 years to 20, and then 20 to 60. So 5 is mentioned in both categories, and so is 20. So the only way to know what the right way to look at it is to bring Gzeir Shova, even according to Rabbi. The other way to possibly learn it is that if it says, mi ben chodesh ben chamesh shanim, then mi ben chamesh lomali, meaning that's extraneous. And now that given that it's extraneous, then there's a possibility that that drives the limud over here, the fact that it's extraneous. And now we have tension in the limud. Do we go by the bichlau, which would be from 1 month to 5 years, or do we look at the extraneous ben chamesh shanim and say it belongs in the next category? The answer to that is we need the gzer shoba to clarify for that, even according to Rabbi. Tosfot over here points out, the Gemara's havamin over here is a little strange, because how could you say that it's not 7 days? Because the pasuk itself there says that shivat yamim tochal matzot, that for 7 days you have to eat matzot. So how could it be that over here you're going to say that when it says v'nichrata nefeshim yisrom yom rishon v'yom shvi'i, that's really 5 days and not 7 days? What type of havamina is that? So Rashi just says that enochanami. That's the havamina of the Gemara, that there's a possibility that you would only have an Isur Chametz for 5 days. Tosafot's unwilling to accept that because he says that it's pretty clear that there's a 7-day holiday, and the 7-day holiday requires eating matzot and the restriction against eating Chametz. So Tosafot says that what the havamina of the Gemara is, that the Chiyuv Karet may only apply for 5 days and not for all 7 days. Because the pasuk that we just quoted about mi yom rishon ad yom hashvi'i is v'nichrata nefeshim yisrael mi yom rishon ad yom hashvi'i. It's about karet. So what the Gemara's havamin is that karet will not apply to all 7 days. It only applied to the 5 days and not all 7 days. But not to say that there's not an isur chametz for the remaining days. Because it says shivat yamim tochal matzot. And so it's clear that there's a 7-day holiday. Matzot yachelet shivat yamim l'ir lecha chametz l'ir lecha sor b'kol gubalecha. So it's clear that there's a 7-day holiday. 7 days of eating matzah, 7 days of not eating chametz. So the havami of the Gemara is just that maybe there's no karet for all 7 days. There's only karet for the 5 interim days, which again is an interesting havam, you know, because it means that only cholamoid would have a chiyuv karet, not the first day and the 7th day. All right, now the Gemara goes back and says, Amarmar, why are you so certain that by the case of the Nigaim, that when it says Mirosho v'ad raglav, that it means Mirosho v'lo rosho b'klau, not his head included, raglav v'lo raglav b'klau. It means until his feet, but not his feet included. Minolan, how do you know that's true? Ibaitema, shani simanim de gufo, mi simanim de rosho. That's because the simanei tuma for a nega on your head is different than the simanei tuma for a nega that's on your body. On your body, the siman tuma is a white hair, or pisayon, or spreading. Whereas by the case of the simanei arosh, then the seyar has to turn yellow in order for it to be a siman tuma. So there are different simanim. If that's the case, then you don't have to expand the body's nega to make tahor to the head, because the head is considered to be a totally separate category. That's one possibility. It says that the hol mar'ei enei hakohen, that the nega spreads to the point where the kohen can only see a nega. So Rashi claims by the head you have hair, so you can't see the nega up there. That's why that area is not included. By the feet, between the toes, you can't see, and that's why they're not included. The Rabbeinu Gershom says it just more simply, which is, if the kohen's standing in front of you, he can see your body, but he can't see the top of the head, and he can't see the bottom of your feet. Because in one look or one glance, he can only capture that which is in front of him. He can't capture what's on top and what's on the bottom. And that's why they're excluded over here, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Baha'i Tosafot point out that there seems to be a stira between our Gemara here and the Gemara in Zvachim, which says that the feet are included in the spreading of the Nega. And so he reconciles that by saying that there's a difference between whether it's the underneath of the feet or between the toes versus the upper part of the foot. And that would work well with the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is that the upper part of the foot you could see in that one glance, whereas the bottom of the foot or in between the toes you couldn't see at that point in time. And that's why they would be excluded. But that's why the din by Roshov Adraglav excludes the Rosh and excludes the Regel, even though Rabbi in other places says that it includes those items. And the Gemara takes it for granted that over there, that's definitely the definition of what Miroshov Adraglav is. And then they use that as a binyan av, according to those that don't agree with Rabbi, to learn it to other places. How do we know that that's the case there? So we brought two possibilities of why, either because Simanei Rosh are different than Simanei Guf, or because of the requirement that the Kohen see it in one glance or without having to search for it, that makes it a part of the Nega that needs to spread to make him Tahor if it covers his whole body. Otherwise, anything outside of that purview is not considered for the expansion of the Nega to cover his whole body. Now, the Mishnah says, Rebelez Omer Ache Yeterot Ala Shanim Chodesh V'Yom Echad. He says you need 31 days and not one day. So in essence, he needs 30 more days into the new year before you gain the next year. Tanya Rebelezo Meir Nemrakan Lamala. It says here by Shishim Ulamala. And it says in Bamidbar, Chodesh Ulamala. That's the Girsa that we have over here. There are actually two psukim in Bamidbar Gimel that have that Chodesh Ulamala, which is Chodesh Nehli Bilabetu Tam Mishpokotam Kozachami Ben Chodesh Vamala. That could be what it's referencing to. That's in Pasuk Tevav. Also in Pasuk Mem, it has a similar refrain, Vayomer Shema Moshe, Kod Kol Bechor Zachar Lebnei Yisrael Miben Chodesh Vamala, Beside Mispar Shmotam. So there you see, by the case of the Bechor and the Leviim, it says, Miben Chodesh Ulamalo. Mala Halan Miben Chodesh V'Yom Echad. Just like over there, it's from 1 month old and an extra day, means 31 days, not the 30th day. You need to reach the 31st day before you are considered for counting or for Pidyona Ben. Afkan Chodesh V'Yom Echad. So to over here, then you need 31 days. It's not enough to have one day. You need 31 days. V'Eima Kihatam. Why don't you make it similar to there? Mahatam Chad Yoma. Over there, it says 30 days. And then the Malah teaches you an extra day. So Afkan Chad Yoma. So to over here, why don't you say the Malah then teaches you an extra day? Why are you adding on 31 days and not just one day? Imkein Gzeres Shavah Mahani. Then you don't need the Gzeres Shavah at all. The word the Mala by itself means one day. So now, what does the Gzeres Shavah add when you have a Chodesh of the Mala and Shishim of the Mala? How does the Mala Ala Mala, that Gzeres Shavah, what does it add? You would have known one day without the Gzeres Shavah. The Gzeres Shavah must be adding on an additional requirement of 30 days. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, you need 31 days to graduate into the next year. Whereas for the Chachamim, you only need one day to graduate into the next year. The Baalei HaTosafot have some difficulty with the Gemara because they had a different girsa in the Gemara, which is uftuyav mi ben chodesh ulamalo, that you redeem it from ben chodesh ulamalo, where there is no such pasuk by the Levim. And he says, chipasnu b'mikra, we looked around the whole Torah, and we never found anything that has uftuyav mi ben chodesh. So he brings an alternate pasuk, which is uftuyav mi ben chodesh tifdeh, that you will redeem him at ben chodesh. And there, the Baalei HaTosafot now comes up with an alternate view here, which is that maybe Ben Chodesh doesn't require Ulamala to teach you that it's 31 days, but that's embedded in the word Chodesh. The word Chodesh, by definition, already means that there's a elapsement of 30 days, because a Chodesh is 29 and a half days, and obviously you can't have a cutoff in the middle, so it's going to be a full 30 days before you graduate, although there we did see earlier in the Masechta, there are Achronim that believe that actually for Pidyon HaBen, you can do it after you've crossed the lunar month, which is 29 and a half days. Once you've entered into the point after that, that's enough to do a Pidyon HaBen. And it's brought down the halacha in Shatat Chak that you can do a Pidyon HaBen using that calculation. But generally, when we speak about a Chodesh is either 30 days, or if it's 29 and a half, you have to finish out that day because you don't stop in the middle. And therefore, by definition, the word Ben Chodesh would mean already into the 31st day. And that's how he learns that by Ben Chodesh, it means 31 days, and even without the word Lamalo. Now the Gemara moves on and says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shana Amura B'Kodoshim, the year that is written by Kodeshim, meaning the age of the animals in Kodeshim, it's a Ben Shanar, Shnataim, or Shalosh Shanim, Shana Murah Bebatei Arei Chuma, the 1 year that is by a house in a walled city, which you have 1 year to redeem it. If you don't redeem it in that 1 year, then it's a permanent sale to the person who purchased it. Shtei Shanim Shebistei Achuzah, the minimum amount of time that you must leave a field with a party who buys it from you to use until the Yovel, you cannot redeem it before 2 years have elapsed. V'shei shanim shebe'evet ivri, and the 6 years of an evet ivri that he has to work for the person that he sold himself to. V'chein shebe'ben v'shebe'bat. And similarly, for a boy and a girl, kulam me'et la'et. All of them are from day to day. Me'et la'et, Rashi over here says, means from yom and sha'ah. Means not only the day to day, but even hour to hour. When you want to count their age, you have to look exactly when they were born on that hour, and then exactly 13 years later, that's the hour, and then you have to cross over that hour into the 14th year in order to be bar mitzvah. And that's true of all of these items. It's not so clear that that's the case, because we do find that by Kodeshim, that it goes me 8 to 8, but by the other items here, it's not clear that the 8 to 8 includes a sha'ah, but rather just includes a yom, and others think that the me'et la'et over here is only mi'yom le'yom. It's only from day to day, but doesn't literally mean mi'sha'ah le'sha'ah. And Rashi in Masechet Nida, which we're going to quote in a second, the Gemara from there, also says over there that me'et la'et means just mi'yom le'yom, and not mi'sha'ah le'sha'ah, except for the places where the Torah has a specific limud that you count it from hour to hour, which is by Kodeshim and by Batei Arei Chuma. Otherwise, everything else is mi'et li'et, meaning mi'yom li'yom. Obviously, this has nafkaminot as to whether when you're waiting for a bar mitzvah, do you have to wait only mi'yom li'yom, or do you have to wait also mi'sha'ah li'sha'ah, which would be a chumrah, that you'd have to actually wait until that same hour in the next day before the person was bar mitzvah, rather than simply into the 31st day. You'd have to wait into the 31st day until the hour that they were born, in order for it to ready to reach into the 31st day, or by their bar mitzvah, into the 13th year and 1 day. So Rashi over here has a sha'ah, which would be a chumrah. Rashi Nida only mentions miyom liyom, and that is the way that we generally practice today, that we only do it miyom liyom, the exception of Kodoshim and Bateri Choma, which don't have application today, where it would be misha'ah lisha'ah. The question over here is, what is the alternative? The alternative is that you would not count based on the years of this individual, but rather by the calendrical years. Which means that every time you got to Tishrei, you would graduate up another year, and you would already be in the next year. So someone was born, let's say, in Nisan, after 6 months, they'd already be in their second year of life. And then when they gave to Tishrei again, then they'd be into their third year of life. And you would count it based on the calendar, not based on their personal birthday. So now the Gemara is going to bring proof to all of that. Shana Amura B'Kodeshim Minalan. How do you know that the Shana by Kodeshim is Mi'et Le'et? Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov Amar Kra. That's what we saw in the Gemara in Bukhorot. Keves ben Shnato. Shnato Shelo. It's determined by his years, Velo Shel Minyan Olam, and not on the calendar years. So it has to be that it's the years of the animal itself, not the calendar years. Tosafot brings a very good question from Rav Shmuel ben Harav Elchanan, that why do you need a pasuk for this? If you did not have it be according to the animal's years, you would never have a korban that could be brought on Rosh Hashanah. And that's because every animal would graduate out of its first year when you hit the first of Tishrei. The animals that are born on the first of Tishrei can't be put on the Mizbeach because you have to wait a minimum of 8 days. And that means that there'd be no korbanot for Rosh Hashanah if that was the case. And therefore, it's obvious that it's based on the year of the animal, not the calendrical year. And so the Balei Tosafot speculate maybe the year is determined by after 8 days. I mean, you don't start counting the year from the David's birth, but rather 8 days later. So maybe that would give you some room to work with. But he says that's definitely not the case. But Omer Mori Rav Shmuel de Shapir Itzrichu. We do still need the pasuk, even though Rav Shmuel ben Elchanan is right that you would have learned it logically, because Ilav Hachi Lo Arminim Ve Me'et La'et. We wouldn't have said Me'et La'et. So there's two different factors here. One factor is that you're counting based on its years. The other factor is whether you count Me'et La'et. And that actually might be why there's an extra requirement by Kodeshim, not only for the year to year, but hour to hour. That's because year to year you would have known, just because it would be impossible that it wasn't speaking about the years of the animals. So then when you get the additional revoy here of Shnato, that comes to teach you not only from day to day, but even from hour to hour. And that might be actually what precipitates that special din by Kodeshim, because even without the Posuk, you would have gotten the conclusion that's based on the years of the animal, not the calendrical years. And so the Limud of Shnato adds on that it has to be Me'et Le'et. Shana Murah Bebatei Arei Choma, the year that's by the houses in walled cities, Dichtiv, Ad Tom Shnat Memkaro. Memkaro Shelo, Velo Shana, the Minyan Ha'olam. It's based on the year from the sale date, not the year of the calendar. Shtei Shanim Shebistei Achuza. How do you know that the minimum of 2 years that you have to leave a field that is being leased by an individual through the Yovel, how do you know you can't redeem it before 2 years? That he gives it to you with at least a minimum of shnei tvuot. Shnei tvuot is 2 harvests that you get. There are some times where he eats 3 harvests over 2 years. Now, it's not clear here where the Gemara learns that from. Tosafot says maybe it learns it out from the word tvuot in plural. And so now it says shnei, 2, and tvuot is another 2. Then he says maybe it's 4 harvests. How do you know that it could be 3 harvests? So he says he thinks it comes out of the extra word, the mispar. The mispar is an extraneous word, and mispar teaches you that there's an extra tvuah that you get beyond the shnei shanim. That means that you could get 3 tvuot. That is only possible if you do it based on the years of the field itself rather than the calendar years. So it could be a possibility that you purchased the field in Nisan, and when he purchased it, the crop was still on the ground. So you harvest that. Then you go another year, you harvest again. Then in the next year, when you're about to hand it back, before you hand it back, you harvest the field before it reaches the end of the second year, and there you got 3 harvests. But if the cutoff was Tishrei, that wouldn't be possible because things in general don't ripen or don't reach their maturity at the point of Tishrei, and then there's no way you're going to get 3 harvests in a cutoff being the calendar year. Now, Tosafot does say there is a possibility if you're dealing with fruits or certain things that do ripen around Tishrei, that maybe you could get 3 harvests, even if the cutoff was the calendar year. But he says that it's pretty clear that if you did it May 8th, there's more chance of getting 3 harvests than if you did it based on the Tishrei cutoff. And therefore, that's the better explanation of the Pasuk over here. And that's how we know that the counting of the Shnei Tvuot is based on the day of the sale, not on the calendar year. Sheish Be'Evid Ivri, how do we know that the 6 years of Be'Evid Ivri from the day that he sold himself in, not based on the calendar year? Dichtiv Sheishanim Yavod. But the Gemara is parsing it differently and saying, it's connecting the Shvi'it to the previous statement that sometimes he has to work into the 7th year. Well, that's only true if it was based on his own years, his years from the day he was sold in, rather than the calendar years. If it was calendar years, then automatically when you reach the 7th year, you'd be out and you'd never work in the 7th year. The only possibility of working in the 7th year is if it's based on the day of his sale and it's a personal 6 years, not a calendar 6 years. Bishop Ben Shibabat, but the boys and girls, Kulan Me'et Le'et, Namai Hilchata. So what halacha does that have implications for? Amar of Gidol Amarav, that the implications by Ben and Bat are for Arachin, to determine by Erech. Like we've said here, Ben and Bat is Me'et Le'et, to determine when you graduate into the next category, we count to Me'et Le'et. Rashi says it's based on hours here, but more likely it means by days. And there we have to wait until the next year before you graduate into the next category. Rav Yosef Amar, Le Pirkin de Yotzei Dofen. For the Perek Yotzei Dofen, which is found in Masechet Nida. In Perek Yotzei Dofen, there are a series of Mishnayot that deal with the ages of boys and girls. And over there, they have Nafkaminot, including 1 month, 13, 12 for Nidarim, 11 and 12, for certain items, 20. So all of those cutoffs are in that Perek, are governed by this statement of Ben and Bat, Le'et Le'et. Amarle Abaye Rav Yosef, Mi Pagitu. When you disagreed with Rav over here, are you arguing on him? Or are you simply adding something else? Amarle, lo. He says, we're not arguing. Anamre Chada, Vuamar Chada. They're both true. Just I said one thing and he said the other thing. Sahachanami Mistavra. That makes sense. Tisagadatka Plige. If you really think they argue, Manda Amar La Rachin, Lo Amar Le Yotzei Dofen. You're going to say that whoever says Arachin does not say the Perek of Yotzei Dofen, meaning Rav, who says that the Nafkamina over here is for Arachin. That means that he doesn't think it's a Nafkamina for the Perek Yotzei Dofen. Vama Rav, we already have a memory from Rav, Hilchata Bekula Pirka made late. The halacha in the entire Perek of Yotzei Dofen is made late. So you see that Rav accepts it, that it is the halacha. Vela Lamanda Amar L'Arachin, my time alone Amar L'Yotzei Dofen. So then Rav, who said that it was referenced to Rachin, why doesn't he say it references to the Perek Yotzei Dofen in Nida? Because Dumya Dehanach. He wants to be parallel with the other items that are listed in the Braita, Manaf Tichtiva, just like those are written in the Torah, Af Hanaf Tichtiva. So too, this item is written in the Torah. So all the items that we mentioned until that point in the Mishnah are written in the Torah. So too, Ben and Bat, he wants it to be an item that's written in the Torah, which is the issue of Arachin. Veidach, Rav Yosef, Isa Gadatcha Dichtiva, if you want to say that it's based on what is written in the Torah, Haish Ben Bubat, Ben and Bat are not the right terminology to use for male and female when it comes to the Torah. Because the Torah uses the term Shibzachar Ubnil Kevah Mibayle. So if you are referencing to that Din Doraita, then Zachar Nekeva should have been what's mentioned over here, because that's what's used by Parshat Arachin. That's also what's used in the Torah to differentiate in genders. Whereas when you say Ben and Bat, that's a reference to the Chachamim's differentiation between genders. And that is a reference to Perek Yotzei Dofen, where we make all these dinim with regards to a ben and bat. And that's why Rav Yosef favored saying it's speaking about the halachot from Perek Yotzei Dofen and not speaking about Arachin. Not that they disagree. They both agree that both are true. Just the question is, how do you explain the Tosefta? What's the reference in the Tosefta? Rav says it's a reference to Arachin because that's on Doraita level like the other items. Whereas Rav Yosef says it refers to the items in Perek Yotzei Dofen, even though they're all midrabanan over there. Nevertheless, the terminology ben and bat is more appropriate for a din derabanan than it is for a din d'oraita, because if it was a din d'oraita, it should have spoken about zachar in nekeva. Now the Gemara asks a question about the tables that we have. Maishna nekeva, dechim izkano kaima itilta. Why is it that a woman who graduates from the 20-60 category to the 60 and older category drops to a third of her value? While a woman is between 20 and 60, her erech is 30 shekel. When she graduates up into the higher category, 60 and older, then her erech is 10, which is one-third of what her value was between 20 and 60. On the other hand, umayishna zachar, the lokai yatilta. By a male, that's not the case. A man between the age of 20 and 60 is 50 shekel erech. When he graduates to above 60, then his erech is 15 shekel. 15 is less than one-third of 50. 15 times 3 is 45, which means that 15 is a bigger drop from 50 down to 15 by a male than it is from a female from 30 down to 10. So why is that distinction exist? The Gemara says, Amar Chizkia, Amre Inche. There is the common saying that people say, Saba Bebeta, Pacha Bebeta. When you have an older man in the house, then you have a Pacha Bebeta. Rashi brings over here, Shever. You have a broken item in the house. Or he brings a second interpretation, which is, Pachta learns to Erom. Something that is undressed, meaning that he doesn't have the capacity or the ability to act like he was clothed before, meaning that he's been stripped of his ability to do what he was doing before. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he brings another possibility, which is Pacha Bebeta is a Mokesh, is a stumbling block in the house. Whereas Savta Bebeta, when you have an older woman, a grandmother in the house, Sima Bebeta, you have a Matmon, you have a hidden treasure in the house. And that, again, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, Sima Bebeta, because Shemisha Merit, she's able to watch and keep an eye on everything that's in the house. Because as a person gets older, they graduate from their ability to do the work that they did when they were younger. So by a man, where most of his work is for physical labor outside, then when he gets older and he's in the house, then the physical labor he did before, he can't do anymore. So when he's in the house, he just basically falls on the members of the household to take care of him now and to provide for him. On the other hand, the woman whose place beforehand was in the house and she worked in that capacity before, she either can continue to work in that capacity afterwards because it's not hard labor, it's things that are skill sets that can be done even as the person ages, or even if she can't do some of the things she did before, she's still now freed and used to being in the house, and she can keep her eye on the things that are going in the house, and she's additive to the household. And so for that reason, an older woman is more valuable relative to her being of a younger age than a man is when he gets older relative to his youth. Okay, with that, we finish the fourth perek, Hadron Halach, Hesegyat.